6:23. I tell you what, you can't beat a better book to read than Romans, unless you happen to go and read some other books, because they're all so good, amen. They're all so good, folks. It's like we went down to Johnny's last night. They gave us a Father's Day meal, steaks and all the trimmings. And you know, a steak is good, but you know what makes a steak good? A salad and a baked potato. You know what I'm saying? Well, that's the way the Bible is. You don't need just Romans. You need some of them other goodies too, amen? Okay, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world? We know that. Most of us, that's a common verse to all of us. And death by sin. People die because of sin. We all gonna die because we're sinners. We're a race of sinners. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. You lay back on your bed at night and just think about the people of the past from your childhood that you knew that's gone now. That verse right there proves it. And we're all, each one, getting closer to that day. Now, I like to believe that we Christians don't die. They go to sleep. Christians don't die. That's what the Bible teaches. A Christian goes to sleep in the Lord. Sinners die. They die twice. But we died with Christ. Now we go to sleep in the Lord. And we're going to be awakened one morning if we go to sleep in the Lord. Romans 6:23 said, the wages of sin is death. Sin pays off with death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God's given out eternal life. You know what? These last years or so, since Matthew especially, the government's been giving out all kind of food and other goodies to the public. And now in COVID and all that, they've been giving out all kind of stuff and still, and giving out checks and all this and all that. And people just lining up for all that good stuff, amen? God's giving out eternal life. Y'all see people lining up to get it? Isn't that strange? People are not lining up to get eternal life. Oh. Okay. No matter what one says or believes, they are accountable to God. But we are living in a time when people don't believe there's a God that they are accountable to. And it's because of what's being taught to young people today. God gives every person their life, their breath, and takes it when he gets ready. And you can't do anything about it. You can take all kind of medicine, see all kind of doctors, but when your day comes, that's it. God has no problem bringing judgment upon people who refuse to listen to him either, folks. And when we look at our society today, our world today, I believe God's bringing a lot of judgments about today to warn people. But I tell you what, when you get over there in some of the books of the Bible, like Daniel, Zechariah, Joel, and Revelation, and Jesus talking about it in Matthew, folks, this world is headed for some bad days. There's some bad days coming on the horizon, folks. I never thought I'd see a day like we're living in today. I never would have imagined that society would have deviated like we are today. In this country, that we have a constitution and bylaws and all that, and they're being ignored. And people are in leadership going along as governing like they want to, basically. In Proverbs, turn to the book of Proverbs right quick, chapter 30. You were there close to it a while ago. Proverbs chapter 30. This kindly sets the tone for the way things are. Proverbs chapter 30. Look down at verse 11. There is a generation that curses their father. Folks, you know what? This is true. This is true. You read the headlines. Listen to the news. And doth not bless their mother. I just read a man from Australia killed his mother and ate her. This week I read that. He ate part of her, had some of her in the freezer. This is a generation that are pure in their own eyes. People don't need the Lord today, they don't think. Y'all know I'm telling you the truth. And yet are not washed from their filthiness. They're filthy and don't know it. They won't recognize it. They won't admit it. There's a generation, oh, how lawfully are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up, proud. Proud young'uns. There's a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth are as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. Folks, we see this generation today in our lifetime. That generation now exists. We're living in the midst of it. Today we have many people who think because God loves them, God's not going to judge them or bring destruction on them. People are just that gullible that believe this today. But God often judges man and utterly destroys him because of his sin. And he don't wait. Sometimes God doesn't wait till man's old to do that. He's cutting them off while they're young now. All these drugs. I just don't understand anybody that thinks they can take these drugs and get by with it. What it does to their bodies. It gets them in a habit that they got to have it. When I was a young boy, I knew of a man that was a drunk man. He would get drunk in our community. And Mom and Dad would talk about it, you know, and how bad that was. That put right in me, right back in those days, don't drink anything alcoholic. Amen. And I've never tasted any kind of alcohol. Because I knew it was wrong. I don't want to get on something that I got to have. In that regard. And why don't people see that today? Shows you the power of the devil, isn't it? The power of the devil to deceive people. And young people get with the wrong crowds. Getting with the wrong crowds. Yeah, daring one another. Some of those drugs I've heard, you only have to have one shot, then you're hooked. They're so devastating. Let me remind you of the days of Noah, when man was so wicked, it even grieved God that he had made man. Can y'all imagine that? God was grieved that he even made man, because man became so wicked, so corrupt. It broke the heart of God. God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination, all he thought about of his heart, was only evil continually. We live in a day like that today, with many people today just like that. It repented the Lord he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I'm going to destroy man. The man that God was so glad to have made. God says, I'm going to destroy him. I'm going to take him off the face of the earth. And you know what? The consequences was all the animals just about were going to be destroyed too. All the animals. Now, what had the animals done? Innocent little creatures. I seen a little thing on Facebook yesterday, I believe it was, somebody posted. He said, the first thing we're going to see when we get to heaven, and it opened up, and a whole slew of dogs come running to meet them, you know. Everybody's hoping their animals will be in heaven to meet them, you know, get their animals back. Oh, that's the way Faye and I are with some of our animals. Yeah, the Lord said, I'm going to destroy man and beast. And those poor little beasts hadn't did anything. Last night we had four foxes at the house. Several cats out there feeding them peanut butter or something or another. You know, I tell you what. And she just gets so happy when she sees her foxes come up to the house. Oh, folks, there was likely millions of people living when God destroyed people in the days of Noah. Because people were having, God has said, I want you to fill the earth with people. And no doubt those people lived to be 900 plus, some of them. They were strong and healthy back then before sin had weakened man. And I'm sure probably women would have 100 or 200 youngins apiece. And there was plenty of, a lot of people that you know what happened? God drowned every one of them, but eight people. Think about that, folks. Millions of people was drowned. And all the dinosaurs and other animals, except what few was put on the ark to continue their species on the earth. You remember the Assyrian army that was 185,000 in Isaiah 37, verses 35 through 36, that God slew? 185,000 that was threatening Hezekiah. They told Hezekiah that we're just going to destroy you. You need to call on your God, Hezekiah, because the other nations, we destroyed them and their gods. Your God ain't no different. Y'all remember that in the Bible? Boy, that's a good story to read. God said, I'll defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. Then the anger of the Lord went forth and smote the camp of the Assyrians, and 185,000. And the next morning, the Bible says they were all dead corpses. Folks, don't mess with God. Amen. Don't mess with God. Hey, God can take your breath. God can take your life. God's God. And when the enemy came against his people, oh, Hezekiah, you remember how he just prayed? So he said, tell Isaiah about what those Assyrians are going to do. Tell Isaiah to pray. And he did. Boy, that was a prayer, weren't it? 185,000 got their breath taken out while they were asleep. Folks, that's my God. Amen. That's your God. Amen. That's our God. Just looking out for us. Amen. We can trust him. We can trust him. God judged Achan too. You remember Achan in the Bible? For stealing silver and garments and gold. He told them not to get that stuff. Israel had gone out to fight against Ai. And boy, Ai tore them up. Why? Because God had said, don't you get that cursed thing. That silver, gold, and all. That's for the temple. And old Achan, he saw that gold and silver and garments, and he wanted it for himself. And he took it and hid it in his tent. And the Bible tells us about how he was found out. And Joshua said, why have you troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. Listen to what happened to Achan, this one man that did this deed. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burnt them. That means they stoned his wife and his children. And it was Achan that did it, but he stoned his wife and all of his children and burnt them up with fire because they had took that accursed thing. God said, don't you get that. God judged. God judged. And I tell you what, they paid the penalty. God was warning people, you better not go get some more word. God judged Miriam, the sister of Moses, too. Remember how God judged Miriam, Moses' sister? You know, she was somebody of important. Amen. She was a Nancy Pelosi, amen. Or she thought she was part of the time. She kept getting out of her place. Yeah. And she spoke against Moses one day because he had married an Ethiopian woman, her and Aaron both. And you know what happened to her? Well, the Bible says that the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said to Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, let not that sin upon us. He thought he was going to get it too, because he was involved. And he was the high priest. Hey. And wherein we've done foolishly, he said, we've done foolishly is criticizing Moses, God's leader. Hey, wherein we have sinned, Aaron said, we've done wrong. And God judged Miriam, and she had to bear that leprosy condition for a while. Boy, she got straightened out, didn't she? God judged Moses too, though. You know what? You can't get too important. God won't judge you if you go to doing wrong. Amen. Amen. Talking to you too, sister. Got to straighten up and fly right, preacher. You can't do wrong. Makes no difference who you are. Get by with it. God judged Moses for striking the rock twice. He only struck a rock twice. The Bible says, take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. And Moses had got so upset with the people, instead of speaking to the rock, he just struck it twice with his rod, and it cost him. What did it cost him? He was not allowed to go into the promised land. They died looking at the promised land from the other side. Why? He disobeyed God. You can't get too up on your little ladder that God won't deal with you, church. He'll deal with us. Boy, we better walk careful before the Lord. It makes no difference who we are. Because God means business. He means business. But you know what? Moses later went into the promised land. How you know? On Mount Moriah, the Transfiguration Day, when he appeared on the Transfiguration, him and Elijah and Moses appeared to Jesus and the disciples. That was later on, though, after he had died. And he had a different kind of body to appear in then. When Samson was one of the judges of Israel, he failed to keep his Nazarite vow and took up with wicked women. God allowed Jezebel to cut his hair, and he was captured by his enemy, and his eyes was gouged out. Don't you know that felt good? Have your eyes gouged out. And then he was made to turn that wheel to grind out grain like a slave. They used to have an animal to turn it. Instead, they used Samson, his enemies. Yeah, to belittle him. But you know, a few days or some time went by, and he was in the big Colosseum, and he was tied between two big poles, pillars there in the Colosseum that held up the main part of the building itself. Old Samson, humiliated, prayed to the Lord, "Lord, give me strength one more time. One more time." He held his arms out. You know what he wanted? He wanted to kill all of his enemies. But you know what Jesus did? He held his arms out. What he wanted to do? He wanted to save all his enemies. Difference in men, aren't they? Difference in men. But God gave Samson strength one more time. He pulled that temple down. And that old Jezebel, she got it too, didn't she? Yeah. God judges, folks. God judges. Makes no difference who you are, you get out of line. I tell you, God judges because he hates sin. Boy, he hates sin, folks. Won't be no sin in heaven. Won't that be wonderful? Won't be no more sin. We're going to live in a place where sin will never raise its ugly head again. That's going to make it heaven in itself. Amen? God even judged David, the man after his own heart. What about that? Yeah. Why? He committed adultery and murdered, had his Bathsheba's husband murdered. Yeah. And God judged David severely, folks. Oh, he judged David severely. It never parted from his family, the penalty for disobeying God. The nation of Judah was warned, and she failed to listen to Jeremiah and the other prophets God sent to Judah, the nation. And finally, God sent the Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar, to destroy the city of Jerusalem and the temple, enslaving the people. It got so bad the people were eating their dead bodies of their children and adults because they couldn't get no food. They couldn't get out to get food. They were fenced in. God kept warning them. They wouldn't listen. God's patience ran out. He brought Nebuchadnezzar. Boy, And then the many that survived, like Daniel, the Hebrew boys, they were all, and Ezekiel, they were all taken to Babylon for 70 years. Some of Daniel never came back. Sin, God judges. God judges. Yeah, the Bible says God will let you cry and your heart will break as he judges you because he loves you and he wants the best for you. That's what the Bible teaches. God will let you squall and bawl, suffer because of your sin. Because he don't want you to let your life be ruined with sin. He wants the best for you. You know, as humans, we just can't get it in our mind. God wants the best for us, and we want to sin. And sin don't bring the best. Sin brings the worst. We're cut out and sewed up wrong, ain't we? Amen. Yeah, God will let you cry to get your attention. God even judged Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. Yeah, they said they bought some land and sold it for so-and-so and what-and-so. And you know what happened? Ananias was standing there in the temple, and God struck him dead right there. They took him out and buried him. He was a New Testament believer. His wife come in a few hours later, and she told the same tale her husband had told. They had plotted it together. We sold that land for so much. It wasn't true. The Bible says she fell down before Peter did too. They took her out and buried her with her husband. God judges, folks. Lying cost both of them their lives. Lie. God judges. I'm telling you, you'll not get by with sin, church. God is holy and requires we live holy. He judges saved people and he judges unsaved people. Because he's a God who is holy. He's a God that's holy. He even judges nations. He raises nations up and he puts nations down. And I hate to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you the truth. He's bringing this one down. We're coming down. Is that why we're not even mentioned in the Bible? I don't know. But it looks like he's bringing this one down and coming down fast. Coming down fast. Yeah. You can search the Bible from cover to cover and you'll find God judges when people persist in their sin. God made us for a better life than one of sin. He hates rebellion. He hates pride. Pride's the top of the list. Even a proud look he hates. He hates stubbornness. A blessed life is found only in Jesus Christ, the real giver of life. He says we're to act as children. Act as children. Little children. Suffer the little children to come to me, Jesus said. Jesus loves the little children. Oh, remember that little song? Jesus loves the little children. He knows that's when they need to know about him. While their hearts are young and tender. Oh, I remember when I was in the card room class, how I loved to hear the stories of what Jesus did in the Bible. Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? And today, we could be suddenly all of us transported out uptown and to the projects, and we'd see all the little children. Nobody's taking them to church, Johnny. Nobody's telling them about Jesus. It's not just isolated. It's a large segment of our country today and the world today. Nobody's telling the little children about Jesus. They're going to the schoolhouse, and they're not allowed to talk about Jesus, hear about Jesus, hear about what this book. They're being taught now that if you want to be a boy, you can be a girl, or vice versa. God's program is going to end, folks, and I expect it to end soon with the rapture. But won't that be something to suddenly be snatched up? Hey, going up together to be with the Lord. Won't that be something, folks? We'll be up there so fast we won't even have time to realize we're going up, I bet. Amen. All born again believers are suddenly going to disappear. All the cemeteries over the world, the Christians are going to come out. All over the world, think about that. Oh, ever since Pentecost, all believers in Jesus Christ will be caught up to be with the Lord. We'll be the bride of Christ, and we'll be brought to the judgment seat to be examined, and then we'll go to the weddings. To the wedding, and then the wedding supper, and we'll have more steaks. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Then there's going to be a 7-year tribulation coming on this world after we have left. I tell you, folks, the more I study about the 7-year tribulation, Jesus said it'll be the worst time in human history. And if it's worse than anything I've ever read about, I sure don't want to be here. I sure don't want to be here. Because it's going to be awful, folks. Especially the last 3.5 years of the tribulation time. The most wicked man to ever live, the Antichrist, is going to come on the scene. And during those 7 years, God's going to send 21 judgments. 21 different judgments, and each one gets worse. And most of the world's population is going to be destroyed. In fact, by the end of the 7-year tribulation time, there won't be one sinner left. They'll all be destroyed. So Jesus can take the saved ones into his kingdom, and they'll start to repopulate the earth again. During that 1,000 years. In Revelation 19, the Bible said, I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken. God's city that's without God, folks. That's who that is. The Bible says, and the houses riffled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord shall go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half the mountain shall remove to the north and half of it to the south. Revelation 19, verses 2 through 4 speaks about when Jesus comes back at his second coming and we come with him, we the church. Well, won't that be something riding on those white stallions? Well, won't that be, you know what? We're not going to have to do like Jonathan's armor bearer help fight. We're just going to be watching. Amen. We're just going to be observing because the Lord's just going to speak and all the nations of the world will drop dead. All the nations will drop dead. The war will be over, folks. The war will be over. Not one sinner will remain in the world, and only the saved in Jews and Gentiles will enter into the 1,000-year reign and enjoy the peace and prosperity and a long life. Amen. The promise of God's word is the devil and his angels, along with the Antichrist and the false prophet and all sinners, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Folks, things ain't going on like they're going on today. It's not just going to keep going on, the sun coming up, the sun going down, and people going to work, and people not doing the work, and people sinning and doing. No, all that's going to quit one of these mornings. It's going to stop. God's got a day planned for judgment to end this program and to start another program when his son and his kingdom for 1,000 years comes to pass. Boy, no war during that 1,000 years. Peace, prosperity like this world has never, ever known will take place for 1,000 years. Oh, there'll be so much fruits and vegetables. Oh, the earth will just reproduce. Oh, I bet there won't be any moodle grass, amen? And sand spurs and nut grass and crab grass, amen? Yeah, not one sinner. Don't let anyone tell you God does not judge sin, folks. He will. People are going about today seeming like, you know, everything's fine. Everything, I'm doing all right. God's not going to do anything. Hey, folks, suddenly without warning, God cuts people down. Suddenly without warning. Yesterday, down in Florida, this man driving a Dodge pickup truck. For some reason, the truck run into the crowd that was gathered together. Oh, someone got killed. Someone got hurt. And someone got scared to death. A congresswoman or some Democrat politician woman. She was all in tears in the news today. Yeah, she's as crooked as a rattlesnake. But it didn't get her. Yeah, God judges sin, folks. As you go about your life this week, you better walk careful, because the more you know about God, the more accountable. Do I need to say that again? The more you know about God, the more accountable, because we know better. We know better. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, praise God, he's faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. 1 John 1:8-10. God offers salvation as a free gift to all who repent of their sin and trust Jesus as their Savior. You know what, folks? I believe that verse. I believe God offers everybody that's ever been in this world that reaches the age of accountability, I believe he offers them forgiveness and salvation and life eternal, because he's a good God who loves everybody. The Bible says in John 1:12, but as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Think about what that verse just said. Believing on the name of Jesus. The word believe means put your trust in. That's what it means. It don't just believe in the historical Jesus. Oh, I believe Jesus lived. Hey, no, it goes a step further. To believe in Jesus means you put your trust in him. That's what the Greek means. You put your confidence in him. Those of you that's married, You took your mate. You committed to them. You did, didn't you? Amen. You better say yeah. Yeah. When you get married, you commit. They're yours. Well, hey, you commit to Christ when you get saved. And he said in his word that as many as receive him, you accept him for who he is, what he did. He gave the power to become the sons of God. Listen, Tave, listen to me this morning, and I'm closing. I hate to do it, but I'm closing. There's no higher position in this world. I don't care what position you get. There's no higher position in this world than being a son of God or a daughter of God. That's as high as you can get. Amen? Amen? And everybody could be that, but it won't be. So many people want positions of the in the world, positions that will pass away when they fail to trust Christ. Amen. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13 states. And lastly, oh, I love this one. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Muhammad can't save you. Buddha can't save you. Confucius can't save you. Nothing will save you but Jesus. Jesus is, God won't even save you. Jesus is the Savior. He's the one that died. And God says, now if you accept my son, I'll accept you then. That's the way it's going to work. You got to accept the son. He's the one that laid his life down in obedience to his father's will, that whoever would believe in him would have everlasting life. Praise God, I got saved. Praise God, I got saved. Praise God, I got a future in heaven forever, and I know it. Praise God. Boy, one of these mornings we're going to be there, brother, sisters. And the trials and the struggles and the hardships of this life is going to be over. Until then, walk careful before the Lord. Walk careful before the Lord. Because you see, I pointed out in our message, men like David and Moses and others, men that were renowned, they strayed. God dealt with them. God dealt with them. You can't do wrong and get by. So if we're in church today trying to know how to love the Lord and serve the Lord and know about the Lord, and we're trying to stay on that narrow path, how you think all these people out on the highways and the byways and the pleasure ways, how you think they're really stacking up that they don't know nothing about? It's pitiful, isn't it? It's pitiful. Loving God, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for letting me stand here today and preach from your word, Lord, the best I can, know how. Lord, encourage our people here, Lord. Challenge, Lord. Help us to have influence in our life as we live before you, Lord, and among men. Make us a blessing, Lord. Pray for the many needs in our bulletin, Lord. We lift them up to your throne of grace. Praying for the Church of Jesus Christ, Lord, that people really want to know the Lord and not just have some religion. Praise be to God that we have a day set aside, the Lord's day, that we can lay aside our earthly task and assemble together in obedience to your word. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. and amen. May God bless, and our altar is open to anyone to come and bow before the Lord this morning. Anyone that might not be saved or sure of their salvation, I'll say that because you don't ever know. We welcome you to come and make it right with the Lord today.